Wednesday, December 24th, 2025. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado, and we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you, and Merry Christmas Eve to you. I hope you are having a good week. You're getting all those things done. You're taking care of all those responsibilities, and that your week is going well, that you, your family, your friends are all staying strong and healthy right now. And yes, those college football playoffs kicked off this weekend, and they were okay. Does the group of five truly deserve a participation trophy? No. Probably not if it isn't earned. But we also do have to remember this year that this fiasco only took place because the ACC was such an unmitigated disaster. Now, last week, on our four picks, the Dose went 3 of 4 on our picks straight up. We went 2 of 4 against the spread. The next round of games will not begin until next week, until New Year's Eve, and then they will continue on New Year's Day. And for the record, I would be picking Ohio State, Oregon, to upset Texas Tech. I don't think Tech has seen speed like Oregon has. Indiana and Georgia. But today, on the Dose, we've got something completely different for you. Because like I said, it is Christmas Eve today. Maybe you're listening to the podcast as you're prepping, as you're wrapping, as you're trying to get that last minute shopping done. Well, I have something completely different for you. I've got a guest, and I'm telling you right now, he's a really funny guy. And you know, we sat down and we talked. We talked a lot about comedy. We talked a lot about sports. And then we honestly just sat and chatted for a while. And it was a really fun conversation. I could have kept it going. We could have gone for like 2 hours, but I really think you're going to enjoy this conversation. So right now, sit back, relax, and enjoy our conversation with comedian Danny Johnson. Joining us right now, I've got a guest that I am really looking forward to speaking with. And I know might be something a little different than we've done in the past, but I have been looking for a guest like this to bring on the Dose. I think he's going to fit exactly what we do here because Danny Johnson has been performing stand-up comedy in clubs across the nation for over 15 years. He has starred in numerous TV commercials. He's been on Comedy Central's Laugh Riots. He was Florida's funniest comedian, top 10 finalist. He recently filmed a special that is now available on Apple TV, Amazon, and Peacock. I believe it is called Dry Bar Comedy. He's had the pleasure of sharing the stage with some big name stars. I mean, guys like Chris Rock, Damon Wayans, Bob Saget, Richard Lewis, Norm Macdonald, a number of others. His second comedy special launched back in October. It had over 10,000 views in just 24 hours. It's still going up. I've watched a couple of his specials. I am thoroughly entertained, and I can't wait to speak to him. Danny Johnson, welcome to the Daily Dose.
Thank you. Thank you. I love the Dose. I like that name. I love that.
Thank you. We had to turn the last name into something.
So this is, you might find this humorous. That my second special on YouTube, I launched it and, you know, not being a giant name in comedy, a household name, I hit 100,000 views in a little less than a month. And I was so excited. I published about it on my social media. And then,
heck yeah.
And then I see a post by Jim Gaffigan, who I love. And he had launched a YouTube special, and he hit 1 million views in an hour.
It's good to stay humble, isn't it?
I was like, maybe I should take my post down.
No, you got to keep it up. It makes no difference. It makes no difference. I can appreciate that. Being in the podcasting world, I understand that completely. Danny, where did you grow up? Where are you from?
I grew up in Long Island, New York, oldest of five kids. And then eventually, when I did two years of college on Long Island, and I hate to rile up any lady listeners here, but I had a partial bowling scholarship.
Yes, holy cow, that is great! How good of a bowler were you?
My average was 209 at the time.
Wow!
And I still have my varsity letter.
Outstanding. Holy cow. That's one you got to keep that tight to the vest.
Yeah.
When you go out. No, You don't want all the ladies.
Stage, the women, you know, things get thrown.
Swooning, of course, of course. Why is it that that part of the country, that Northeast, why is it it just makes funny people?
I think it's a culture of, if you're not being made fun of, ribbed, poked in a healthy way, then you're not loved.
That's 100% true.
It's keeping each other in check with the ego.
Yeah, that's 100% true too. And you said you're the oldest of five.
Yes.
See, same thing. Siblings keep you humble.
Yes.
There is nothing better than you to be, hey, I got that bowling scholarship. And when you come home and your siblings go, really? Right. Really? Is that what you're going
to
brag about?
Even to this day, they'll go, I'll tell them I'm performing in their area. And they're like, do you have anything new? I was like, you can't just come hang out and pretend you haven't heard.
You can't just come support your flesh and blood here.
Yeah.
Oh, that is outstanding. I absolutely love that. Now, please understand, I'm not saying you have to be, but are you a sports fan?
Oh yeah. So growing up in Long Island, and after the 2 years of college in New York, I said to myself, how can I go about paying out-of-state tuition and be in debt till I'm 40. And I transferred to USF in Tampa and then stayed in Florida. So I'm half and half my life. But yeah, I grew up going to a Yankee fan. It was Yankees, Islanders, Knicks, Giants. That's what you had to do. And then if you were a Rangers fan, you were a Jets, Nets, Mets fan. You know, you can't. That was the split. So Nassau Coliseum for the New York Islanders was the next county over, so literally a 30-minute drive. During the 80s, we got to see that 4-year dynasty of Cups come home, and then of course it was terrible for 30 years or so. Not a big stretch, but Yankees. I've actually been to more Mets games because living on Long Island, Queens is right there. It's closer. It's easier to get to than Yankee Stadium. But I'm a huge Yankees fan, Giants fan. Pretty much any team that gets your hopes up and then doesn't deliver.
Absolutely. No, right. I understand that. Hey,
and now
Colorado,
that I live I'm the Jacksonville, Florida area
for half
my life, I'm sort of a Jaguars fan, which I don't, they're doing great this year, but historically it's been upgrades to the stadium that we look forward to.
Right.
the media calls for, you know, we need a stronger offensive line. The owner's like, how about a pool? You want a pool?
What about a pool in the stands? Could we put a pool in the stands? Maybe a hot tub.
You want a jumbo screen? Is that what you're saying? Yes. All right. We'll take it.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, now you went to Central Florida. Are you a UCF fan as well?
I went to South Florida, USF.
Oh, you went to USF.
Yeah,
my bad. So you're in Tampa. You're a Bull.
Yeah, we had the war on I-4. We don't like UCF folks. And,
I got you.
But yeah, I went to USF, and actually the year I graduated is when they got Division III football.
Okay.
And it was with the help of Hall of Famer Leroy Selman.
Yeah.
The old Buck. And I could have actually tried out. It was
really
open. Yeah, I mean, I was a senior. I was like a 10th-year senior. I had a long college. Look, I like to refer to my college career as the decade of excellence. Right?
Perfect. Yeah. No, you had some pretty good basketball teams at USF, and now they're kind of getting the program going. I remember when you had Seth Greenberg coaching down there, you had a pretty good basketball program down there.
I had some classes with the guy who ended up playing for the Pistons for a while. Chucky Atkins.
Yes.
And we took calculus together, and he sat next to me and all he did was sign his autograph in his notebook. The whole
just
class.
Practicing, just practicing.
Yeah, he would just, and I'm sitting there writing down, God knows what this professor. My professor's name was XI, and I was like, I don't even know the name of the professor. I mean, and then calculus. And then I look over at him, and he's just, you know, Chucky. He's just signing
just
his name,
working on signing that
over. And then for test days, high profile athletes in college for test days, they were ominously absent from class.
No
and they,
way.
They took a test elsewhere.
Must be nice. Mm-hmm. It must be nice.
Yeah, they don't do that for bowling, to tell you that right now.
No, I wouldn't think so. I think bowling, you're in your seat and you're there on time or else.
Yeah.
I understand
that
completely.
They do let you eat fries while you take the test, much like when I was
That's
bowling.
Fair. That's only fair. That just puts you in your ambiance. That just puts you where you need to be. Hey, remember, you should be stopping by DailyDoseSports.com every week to check out what new things we have going on over there. We have links to the podcast, We have links to new articles this week. I know my Denver Broncos took a loss to Danny's Jacksonville Jaguars, I might add. Have an article up about that you might want to go over and check out. But remember, we have links to the podcast. We have links to the videos. We have links to those articles. And we do have links to Daily Dose gear. Maybe you have someone on that list that you haven't quite finished up yet. You could pick up a Daily Dose hoodie, a Daily Dose sweatshirt, a Daily Dose t-shirt, or even a baseball cap. Make sure you're stopping by there. And remember, you can always email the podcast. If you'd like to reach out to us, email us at dailydosesports@gmail.com. We would love to hear what you have to say. Right now, let's get back to our interview with comedian Danny Johnson. Who are your favorite comedians growing up?
Ooh, growing up, I would have to say it was more comedic actors. So I loved the old Steve Martin movies, Martin Sure. Short, the airplane movies, Leslie Yeah. Nielsen. I like silly. I like small. I like all kinds of humor, but I do like silly slapstick a little bit. Huge Jerry Seinfeld fan. He's my fave of all time. But I remember watching like a lot of Saturday Night Live, and I'm like, these people are just acting out silly stuff, and it's I'm dying. And then every day in school, the Monday after the weekend, we would just talk about it all the time.
And, is there a quicker wit than, and you mentioned both, Martin Short or Jerry Seinfeld, is there just someone quicker off the cuff than either one of those two guys? They are absolutely brilliant and so quick.
And Martin Short to this day doing the Jiminy Glick.
Oh, he's so good. Interviews.
It's incredible.
Yeah, he's absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah.
Did you have like a show, a set that you were just, you mentioned Saturday Night Live that you were just like, no, I'm all in. I am glued to this every single week.
It for sure was Saturday Night Live.
It was SNL, yeah.
Yeah. I liked the variety. I liked the sketches being short. Maybe it was the short attention span I had, but it was a quick hit of funny. And then, ooh, I wonder what the next one. Ooh, I wonder if it's a fake commercial. I don't know if it's a real commercial. It starts off,
Right.
Sort of the excitement of
it. Yeah, the cold open of, those are phenomenal.
Yeah.
When you were a kid, are you the funny kid in the class? Is it being discouraged? Are you getting smacked with the ruler because you won't shut up? What's the story there?
So contrary to what most people believe, most performers, actors, comedians, whatever, are introverted. So very quiet. I was funny amongst my friends.
See.
And to this day, introverted. So like when people hang out with me after the show, if I'm hanging around after, whatnot, they often ask what's wrong. Is it something bothering you? I'm like, no, I'm finished. I'm done. I don't.
But to be a comedian, don't you kind of have to be an observer? You can't just be talking nonstop or you don't ever catch anything.
Yeah, the folks that are on all the time is not only annoying to me, but they're not soaking anything in. It's just a show. Like Robin Williams and Jim Carrey, you would not believe are introverts off stage. They click and it's on when they're on stage. So I was a big observer. I have a notebook still to this day from 7th, 8th, 9th grade of just funny thoughts I had. And it was just something I loved. And if I was to psychoanalyze myself, look back at my childhood, we talked about me being the oldest of five. So there was a period of my adolescence where I felt like my mom was having a kid every 18 months. And the attention on me was less and less and less.
Sure.
So I started to imitate relatives and put on a little show during gathering, because my family was not the only, we're the oldest of five, but our entire, my aunts and uncles have a lot of kids, so every family gathering was at least 20 some odd people.
So did you ever have that moment growing up where you made everyone laugh and you're like, oh, I've got something here?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you remember
it was definitely at family functions where I would just reiterate by doing an imitation of an uncle,
okay,
saying something that got no reaction, and then I would get the reaction because one, they were surprised I was listening, and then two, I could do a dead on impression of him, and then just to point out the absurdity of what he said, have some 12-year-old imitating him in a perfect way got huge laughs. So I just continued that. That was a jolt of like adrenaline. Like, oh, they like that. That felt good.
When did it occur to you that I might be able to make a living doing this?
That's I still struggle with that to this day, right? Because It's my whole career is, can I get work next month, you know, or next year?
Sure.
I mean, I try to book a year out, but it could be.
You had to have a moment that you were like, hey, I'm getting up on stage. I've got a couple things here.
Yeah. So I think it was more when I first got to be a house MC at the comedy club here in town in Florida. The pay was very minimal. I think it's the same pay to this day.
It hasn't changed.
For MCs. But when I progressed in my comedy career a little bit more, I remember my first corporate gig where you do a show for a corporation or a charity or a church or a fundraiser, and they're specifically hiring you because they like you and they want you to be clean. And I'm a clean comic anyway, and they want clean comedy. So the paycheck for that was ridiculous compared to a comedy club. And I realized, oh, I can make this work. I could make this go. I could pay the next 2 months' bills with it, you know.
Right.
And I think the second instance was once I branched out into voiceover and then acting, not all of those pay great, but for the amount of work that you put in, you get a nice little check. And then if they renew it for another year after 12 months, you just get a check in the mail. And okay. I was like, oh, if I can combine those three things. And now with my two comedy specials, you know, getting royalties from those and like have a little bit of passive income along with if a gig falls out, so on and so forth, I could make it work. But in the very beginning, you're losing money sometimes. You're driving 7 hours to make $50 and no hotel and driving back. So I've probably done more shows for $0 than I have for money at this point.
I'm going to put you on the spot, and I apologize in advance. I'm sorry in advance, but I've got to know. Do you remember the first joke you ever told on stage?
Oh, man. I probably still have the tape. I think I know the premise. I'm not sure it was the first thing out of my mouth, but it was when I first moved from New York to Florida. And I said, it's a different culture. At the supermarkets, they bag and carry your groceries for you.
Yeah.
And I went back to New York, and I'm just standing there waiting for them to beg. And they're like, are you going to take these with you? Or you just want me to put them back on the shelf?
That's solid.
Yeah. And then I go back to Florida, and now I'm spoiled. You know, I got a six pack of beer and a box of Tic Tacs. I got some 90-year-old guy carrying it out to my car. I'm like, let's go, Pops. We ain't got all day.
That's funny. You mentioned you have, you know, things you've written in the notebooks. How do you write physically? How do you write? Are you still just writing it by hand and putting it down?
Absolutely. Or the notes app in my phone. I often joke if somebody found my phone and looked through the notes app, they'd want to institutionalize me because it's the most random thoughts and that I think are funny or I have to bring to the stage, but I'll have a thought and then I have to park it, right? Because I'm out in public. And then I'll just go back to it and kind of write it out and see if I can find any more to it. But there's other times where I'll do like stream of conscious writing first thing in the morning. You just get up and write for 30 minutes about whatever's in your head and then see if you can make that into something. So it's very hard. Like now, so my first special you mentioned before is 2019. It was done, produced by Dry Bar Comedy. It's a Provo, Utah company that produces clean comedy specials. So they put that out on social media in 19, millions of views, and then Comedy Dynamics, this company, licensed it to put it on Amazon, Apple, and Peacock. So I didn't do my second special until my YouTube one just came out a month and a half ago independently. And that's a lot more pressure for me because I don't have a built-in audience like millions of people like Dry Bar Comedy does. So, but in each of those instances, you're retiring an hour of material.
Right.
And so now, like last night's show, I did maybe 20 minutes of my old stuff, 10 or 15 minutes of the old stuff, and then the rest of it was brand new to fill out. I did an hour and 10-minute show.
Oh,
and
wow.
You're just kind of working through it. And, you know, it isn't. I told the audience this last night, and I believe it was Seinfeld that said this in an interview. I'm the comedian on stage, so literally, I'm the expert on what's funny. However, sure. You as the audience, tell me if I'm right or not.
You get a vote.
Yeah, they get the vote.
Yeah.
If it's not funny to multiple audiences, then you're wrong, and you're supposed to be the expert. So it is a nice trial and error. I love trying out new stuff.
How jealous are you as a comedian of the musicians who just get to go up there and play all their old crap? And as soon as you release the special, you're like, I got to retire it. I can't use it ever again. They just get to go up and play that one song over and over every night, close the show with it. If you do that, you're like a hack. That doesn't seem fair.
Well, there's two folds to this. One, musicians, if you're a bassist and you miss a chord or no one notices. When I miss a punchline, 100% of the people notice. And then two, to your point, they can play the old hits. Now there are some anomalies to that. So if you're a comedian that gets notoriety for certain bits, I've heard comedians tell me this. Dom Irrera is one. Jim Gaffigan didn't tell me directly. Bert Kreischer didn't tell me directly, but they will have their audience split. We drove 2 hours. You didn't do any of the old stuff we love.
We want to hear a little of it. Yeah.
Right. So they do want to hear a little bit of each. But when you're fairly unknown, like Danny Johnson, rarely get. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I'll get, because my Dry Bar Comedy special, I think, is over 10 million views at this point.
Sure.
Across all platforms. They'll go, oh, you didn't do that bit. That's why my aunt came. I was like, well, I can't. Did you have a good time?
Right. Did you enjoy it? Was it that kind of inspired you to be that clean comic? Because I don't want to say it would be easier to not be, but there are times you'll see, I don't want to say lazy comedian, but you can almost get a laugh just out of that word.
Yeah. And that's what I don't like. I love all kinds of comedy. I love blue comedy, clean, whatever. What I don't like is when an obscenity is a punchline.
See?
I don't mind. You could say I went to the effing grocery store, which is unnecessary, but you can say that. But as long as the punchline is not the obscenity, I'm fine with it. I mean, it's...
Agreed.
To me, it's lazy. You're trying to shock the audience. But if you're just using it because that's your normal way of speaking, then all, just make it funny. I just want it to be funny.
Yes.
And so it really just was an extension of my personality. And I did, in the beginning, my first year or two, I did curse here and there. It wasn't intentional. It was just, I was just learning how to do it. And then eventually I was like, oh, it's a little harder to be clean. Yeah. And there's a little bit more opportunity on the private side of outside of comedy clubs to be clean. And
you don't have to change your whole act. Yeah.
Yeah. And I like it. And I could just literally because sometimes clients will hire me and like, well, we kind of like this and this. I'm like, well, okay, let me stop you right there. I love that you're interested in hiring me, but what you've seen is what you're going to get.
Right.
Like I'm not one neighborhood. I deal with some neighborhoods. They have like these master plan communities. They have their own event center and they can, people just leave their house and walk to the pool area. And they have this like set up. And they'll go, one person complained that I wasn't dirty enough. And I was like, I didn't curse at all. And they're like, oh, I didn't notice. I'm like, well, see, it was just funny.
Funny is funny.
Yeah, they didn't advertise it as a clean show, but you didn't notice until the end when you were like, oh, he didn't curse at all.
Yeah, yeah. Is there a subject in comedy that you just won't go near? You're just like, I'm not touching that. I'm not going into that.
I don't know if it's a subject, but it's more of it. I'm not looking to offend anybody.
Intentionally.
I'll touch on subjects that annoy me that people get offended by.
Sure.
But if I think it's just knocking someone down for no reason, if it's mean spirited, I used to have a joke. It was a pretty long bit about these conjoined twins and, they just have two heads than one body. They're still around in the media to this day.
Yeah.
But I did a joke about them playing softball and it was just, it turned out, it was so, I think it's funny still, but it started to become me and the audience laughing together.
Right.
Absurdity of it. And then it started to become them laughing at them and not feeling sorry for them or any kind of empathy. So I was like, that's just not me.
Yeah.
This is not. Yeah.
All right, I've got a tough question for you, and I'll preface that right up front. Is there a joke that you've heard that you're like, Oh, I wish I'd have wrote that. That is so many. Beautifully written. Many, I'm sure.
Many jokes. That's what makes me love a comedian. I heard a joke last night. I had two openers for my show last night, and this woman named Madison was the second, and she had some jokes where I was like, ooh, that's a good angle. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like some of my favorite comedians to watch now constantly have premises and ideas that I wish I thought of. Joe List being one of them, if you ever heard of him.
Yeah.
Nate Bargatze, of course.
Of course.
I got to meet him briefly and talk to him about his writing. And just for those guys that churn out a new hour every year is beyond. I'm not working hard enough, apparently. But and it's not just a new hour of garbage. It's a new good hour of stuff where I'm like, oof, I wish I thought of that.
It's some of it is so good. I compare it, like you're looking at something like it's like Prince. How do you just come up with another album in 5 minutes? I don't get it. I saw
Kevin James' latest comedy special. Yeah. He did a bit about deleting apps on a phone, and he gave a personality to the new. He gave like he's on stage and he's like, you know, you press the phone and hold it, and the apps are shaking, and you know, he starts talking. He's like, don't delete me. Delete the Learn Spanish in 6 months. He hasn't touched that one. And and I was like, how have I not thought of that?
Right. So, it's so good. Okay. Yeah. Worst gig you've had to perform at? Just a bad situation, a bad spot, just didn't go well. What's the worst one you've had?
Absolutely. So, and this happened in one way or another on more than one occasion. Back in my early days, there wasn't a gig I would say no to.
Sure. Trying to get on.
Now I'm like a no machine. I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. I go to this bar in Georgia. I want to say it was a 2-hour drive or 3-hour drive, so it wasn't somewhere at a hotel. And I show up to this bar and it's like, it looked like a double wide. It used to be a double wide trailer and there's no lights or anything. And I go in there and there's pool tables. Everybody's playing pool. There's college football on the TVs. And then there's like a stage area to the left with seats. And our pictures are kind of hanging loosely on the wall and our names are written in chalk. I was like, that's when you know you've made it, when your name's in temporary.
Yes.
Right. So I go, did you sell any tickets? They're like, well, all these people are here for the show. They just don't know it yet. I'm like, oh gosh, they don't know. So this is what happens. This is like, it has to be not even halftime at the games yet, the 4 o'clock games. And the owner just goes to this power board, shuts down pool tables, mid people are playing pool, and then starts shutting off all the TVs in the bar.
Oh no.
And people are, what the heck's going on in there? And he gets on the mic, the owner, he's like, it's comedy time. I was like, are you kidding? And they're like, come on over here, folks. Everybody over to the seats. And they're so angry. Yeah. And it's a two-man show, and I was opening at the time. So I had to go up cold. And I was like, hey, I've never had a show start where it started where we removed joy from the room. Hey, you guys know how you're having that really good time right now playing pool and watching the game? I want you to stop that joy you're experiencing. And listen to this idiot talk about his family for 30 minutes.
Oh my goodness, that is absolutely brilliant. I don't know why. Yeah. But the rough gig or the bombing stories, why are those stories so just completely hilarious?
Yeah.
And as comedians, you have to share those with each other because
yes,
you're and the only ones that can truly appreciate it. Yes, you're going to get it.
Yeah. When our friends are bombing, it is the best.
It has to be just priceless. Because,
especially when you know that they're funny. And this is just a weird thing, right? So it's the best. And we don't let them off the hook. We don't give them the light. Like sometimes comedians will ask for the light when they have 5 minutes left. We'll intentionally bypass the light so they don't
keep
if they're
going.
Not tracking their own time. They still have to bomb up there. And but yeah, it's a rite of passage, and you should. I mean, last night's show I did an hour 10. I told you I did a bunch of new material, and I'm super comfortable with something not getting a laugh, and I just move on. I don't call attention to it. I just, okay, that's got to, I think there's something there. I'll work on that. And and you just go to the next one, you know? And, but yeah, that show, I think I was scheduled to do 30. I did 22 and I got off and I was full body sweat. And I was just like, I told the headliner as I'm passing him on stage after I introduced him, I'm like, I'm leaving now. He's like, okay. He's like, I don't blame you.
If you meet another comedian, this is going to be mean, and I apologize in advance. If they're not funny, can you be friends with them?
It would be tough because most of the friends, comedians that I'm friends with, we get each other work. We give each other references. Yeah. So at some point in the relationship, I'd have to tell this person, I'm not comfortable. You're not ready yet. But I've been doing it 10 years. Well, that should, little hint there. But yeah, I think comedians click and they gravitate towards one another.
Oh, for regardless. Sure.
So I respect the fact that you're doing what you're doing up there, whether it's magic, whether it's, you know, what are the puppet dudes or whatever. I like performers, so I'll gravitate towards them in any social situation and talk to them, magicians and whatnot. But yeah, to be long-term friends or close, because it eventually comes down to, hey, you did this room. You think you could put a word in for me? And then I'm
right.
It's awkward, you know.
Of course, of course. Danny, you've been all over the country. I'm assuming you've been here to my home state of Colorado at some point. We've got a pretty solid comedy scene here. We've got Wendy Curtis running Comedy Works and that kind of thing. Have you been to Colorado?
I have never been.
Well, we've got to get you here.
I know. I know. I think I had a layover in your satanic airport.
Yes. Well, you didn't even get to the good stuff. If you just were at the outside of the air, you got to get out and around the airport to really get the full... Yeah. You know, you got
with no research whatsoever.
Yeah, you don't need any. You're right. We've definitely got to get you to Colorado. Oh yeah, we got to get you. Got to get you out here. Comedy Works is great. Yeah, my wife and I go to Comedy Works. In fact, you mentioned Dom Herrera. Saw and met Dom Herrera out there. You want to talk about a guy that is just a grinder and is just hilarious and might be one of the kindest people I've ever met in my entire life.
Just naturally funny and likable and just. A true comedy treasure for decades and decades. Because there are some guys and gals that have a flame career and then you kind of don't. Right. He's just been so consistent of selling out rooms across this country for decades. And he's one of the guys, like I mentioned before, it's like they want to hear Little Petey, Big Petey, you know, all these old jokes and then some new stuff too. So, I would love to. I mean, it's funny you say that. It's funny I say that I haven't been to Colorado because I tend to get booked for some reason in the winter months in cold weather.
Oh, perfect.
You know, if it's 9 degrees, I'm in Montana for some reason. I'm like, why are you booking me in Montana in February?
Right, right. Well, now, you know, you're down in Florida. You're getting these warm winters. Although I will say this, there is a gross miscalculation of Colorado weather because everybody's like, it's freezing there. It's horrible.
Right.
We get a ton of sunshine here. It might be chilly, but it's sunny. It's always sunny here. Like more sun than like Daytona Beach here. We get a ton of sun. You just might get some cold. And like the snow, at least in Denver, that's mountain stuff. That's not us.
Yeah.
That's
and I grew up a John Elway fan. I'm a huge.
How could you not?
I think because people, when I was younger and I had hair, they said I kind of looked like him. I had like this rounder face, longer rounder face, and I kind of looked like I had an Elway jerseys. I loved his rock and arm.
Really?
And yeah,
you're a Giants fan. You destroyed him in our Super Bowl.
Yes, of course. That was great. But I mean, and hearing the stories of Elway's passes leaving the cross imprint from the football on wide receivers' chests and stuff, it was amazing. It,
you know, he kind of gets overlooked in scheme of like, the GOAT and that. And you're like, hey, put him on Belichick's teams, the Patriots. He would have dominated. He was
Still part of the ownership of
no, he actually took a step back. He may still own a piece of it, but he kind of took a step back because he was kind of playing GM for a little while. And I think he was kind of struggling a little bit. But the new Elway special on Netflix is coming out. December 22nd. Yeah, a big to-do about his life and his career and all that he did. And here in Denver, we can't wait for it because, like I said, I think there's a younger generation that just has no idea. They don't grasp what he truly was. And even if you saw him at the end, he was an old man. He couldn't hardly run. Back in his prime, you're talking about a guy that was, outrunning cornerbacks. I mean, he was a freak.
And he was big. He was,
it was
like
a big dude. Yes.
It was like watching a horse run. It was a huge dude. It reminds me of Josh Allen a little bit.
Very similar. Very similar. Yeah. Yes. If Josh ever starts winning some games and actually gets to a Super Bowl, then we're talking, you know, true comparison. Because, I mean, Elway was dragging bad teams to the Super Bowl and then just getting belted once he got there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we need to get you out here to Colorado because, yeah, the comedy scene out here is very solid. Okay. I've got one more question for you. And I'm sorry to ask you this. This show is going live Christmas Eve. Here is your question.
Got it.
You've got, you know, that list for Santa. What is it you're asking? And hey, don't confine yourself. Like, don't put it, hey, I want some new socks. You can ask Santa on the dose for anything. What do you got?
Wow.
Yeah.
And this is it have to be a physical thing? Like
it can
a gift?
Be anything. It could be anything.
I would wish, or I would love, one of my pet peeves with comedy is people equate number of followers with level of funny.
That's fair.
And to the point where I've had friends not come to a show or a friend of mine's show and because they don't have any money, and then they spend $100 on a ticket to see somebody in an arena that they've never heard of, but they have 10 million followers. Still could have been a great time for them, but I would love, because the industry that I'm in, comedy, is sold. That's the first question I get.
Yeah.
How many followers you have? And I have a decent following, but I don't have enough near where I can start selling out rooms. And I've got a bunch of comments specifically on my YouTube special that just came out that are, I would classify them as backhanded compliments, but I do not believe that was the intent of the writer. But there'll be something along the lines of, this was so great and so professionally done. It was nice to come across it on such a small platform.
See.
So they're surprised to find, you know, I don't know what I have, 1,000 followers on YouTube, that they came across this quality of entertainment on. And I'm like, well, yeah, if you could just comment, share, and subscribe, I'm putting out this content all the time. So it's about getting out there and getting known. And it's sort of sad. There's tons of comics out there that you've never heard of that are good. So there's a lot of terrible ones, but there's some really good ones out there. And I would love to be exposed to more people. And I'm continue. That's my goal, right? That's my daily to do, is get out there on social media, which I didn't for the longest time. I was against social media.
I don't blame you.
But like talent managers, I mean, I'm with an agency in Los Angeles, but talent managers that I've talked with in the past, their first question was not, can I see a clip? Do you have a special? How many TV credits do you have? It's how many followers do you have? That's the very first question. And they don't want nothing to do with any other questions if you say a low number. So it's very, because their job, it's a money. You just follow the money.
Right,
you have to be able to sell tickets to, you know, comedy clubs are just restaurants looking for people to buy food and drink, right?
Sure,
and then
sure.
The entertainer, if they're a draw, they get most of the door. So, yeah, I would like people to be, because that's my goal. My 30,000 foot goal in comedy is to make as many people laugh as possible without being divisive. I want you to forget about your problems for an hour, come out, hang out, have a good laugh, and make your day better. That's the goal.
I absolutely love it. I want to tell you, here at The Dose, over the last few years, we do kind of a Christmas wish list. And we put things on that we're kind of hoping to have. We asked for a college football playoff. We asked for an automated first down in the NFL. We've asked for a number of things, and they keep happening. So, hey, we're just going to put your wish into Santa, and we're going to hope for the absolute best because you're a funny guy, and you're bringing good comedy every single night.
And dinner with Don Mattingly.
There you go. That's fair. That's absolutely fair.
But do we have a little bit more time?
We've got as much time as you want.
I learned something about sports. I didn't think I would learn a new thing about sports, and I'm trying to write a joke around it, and I want your opinion.
I would love to hear what you've got.
Okay. So I think it was the Chicago Blackhawks hockey.
Okay.
Something happened where a 36 or 40 year one old backup goalie had to come in because two goalies got hurt on the same team.
I remember that.
Yeah. So yeah. And I was like, what's the big deal? I come to find out that every team is only allowed to have two goalies on their roster.
Right.
every arena in the NHL has a backup goalie in
like
the
a stands. Guy in the stands, yeah.
Yes. That they give tickets to. He's got equipment. He's not an NHL player. He's got equipment in the stadium, and he can play for either team should they lose both goalies. It's that blew my mind. So this 41-year-old guy comes, the crowd, apparently hockey fans and obviously players know about it. The crowd goes nuts. The players gather around him before he starts his first, not starting the game. He's like mid-game. And he's like 41 years old, and he just he's almost never used. He's like a rec league player or a semi-pro.
Yes.
41 years old, comes in. I think it was the Blackhawks. It may have been somebody else. I forget.
I think you're right.
And they end up winning. They score two goals. They score two goals quick on him, and then he ends up shutting them down for the rest of the game. And the funny part to me was, one, that they have that, and then two, what is this guy? He never gets used. So I could just imagine him in the stands. He's like out on a smoke break, out on the ramp, and they're texting him like, "You're in." Like, "Oh God,
let me get this last drag." Yeah,
finishing his beer,
finishing his nachos, and heading in.
Equipment doesn't even fit anymore. They quickly stitch his name, however they do it, on a jersey.
Right,
Because they don't know which. They don't want to make two jerseys every single game. Hey, so
I'm all for that in the NFL. I'm all for that in the Olympics. Right. I would love to see this more often.
Yeah.
There are opportunities here.
I think, but we have to think of a sport that doesn't have enough backup. So it could be basketball. It could be, because baseball is, you know, what do you have, 10 people in the bullpen or something like that? You know,
Maybe
catcher is pretty.
You might have to jump in there and take a heater. And I don't know that I want it to be a rec league player. We just pick someone out of the audience. And you're like, Mabel, you're up. I'm sorry.
It's a lottery.
I'm sorry.
Jennifer McCarthy.
Yes. Are expected in the net in the next 5 minutes.
We're looking for you to close out this ninth inning here. If you could just get on the mound and show us quick.
That would be outstanding.
Yeah. 99-year-old Edith.
You're the winner. You're the winner tonight.
Right.
You're going to step in there and catch this fastball.
What if it was MMA? And because I know they have backup fighters, but what if the backup to the backup fighters?
The backup
also
goes down.
Like, hey, Danny Johnson, you're facing Roy Jones.
I'm sorry. You only got to take him like three rounds. You just got to survive three rounds. Can you do that? Come on.
Yeah, is that common knowledge, though, for hockey people?
No, I don't think that's common knowledge, but I do remember that happening, and I do remember thinking that is the most bizarre thing I've ever seen, because in the NFL, you're only allowed that one backup quarterback. Now, you can have another guy on the roster, but he's not dressed. He's not out there, so you do have that similar situation. If you get the second guy knocked out, we had that here in Denver. They brought in, like, a receiver, and he was running, like, option stuff. And he's horrible.
Sometimes
it's
the punter. The punter will do it.
Yes, the punter. I think I want to say that happened with the Patriots in the Brady era, and Tom Tupa, maybe somebody went in because the punter, and he took a few snaps and had to survive the game. But I don't know if we're utilizing that nearly as much as we should be.
And the Jets have to do it this week. The Jets play my Jags, and Brady Cook starting because they're Justin Fields and their other quarterback are hurt. So they have one quarterback.
You got one guy.
And then why don't we just have Steve DeBerg on speed dial? Right. He played till he was 60.
Yes,
or something.
Yes. They just bring in. You have to bring in a former Ken O'Brien. You're up. Just
oh my gosh, Ken. Dude, Boomer Esiason went to my high school. He went to my high
school. Did he really?
Yeah. He bought the whole team new football equipment, weights, all this stuff. Yeah. Not at
That's
the same.
Awesome.
He's older.
Right.
Than me, but his Bengals jersey was hanging up in our high school my whole career there.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. No, he was a guy that you want to talk about, just a big strong dude. Holy cow.
Yes.
Just a gun for an arm.
I just watched a nasty highlight reel of Ron Jaworski getting blindsided by Lawrence Taylor.
Oh, I remember that. Oh goodness. You literally watch and you're like, is he dead? Is he okay?
Those hits he doesn't back move. Then when there was no just the quarterback's head whipping back.
Yes. Just smashing, and they're playing at the old vet. They're playing on cement with like a green rug on it.
Yes.
Not even a carpet. It's not that classy. It's more just like that rug you put on the backyard just to put your picnic table on.
Yeah. It's weird to see receivers. Like, I think they gave some crap to Pickens the other week on the Cowboys for laying up on some throws.
Kind of alligator armed it. Yeah.
I mean, and with, I think CD was out at the time, so it was like, he's the guy. I mean, what are you doing?
You don't have anyone else.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, but back in the day, if you didn't extend and just eat a helmet, what's wrong with him?
I think Keyshawn Johnson was guilty of that for not laying himself out like that.
No, he
was. Well,
he
when
was,
you have Ronnie Lott and Ed Reed out there lurking, you imagine just getting hit by Ronnie?
No.
Have you ever seen the Ronnie Lott Christian Okoye collision in the hole?
Steve Atwater, Christian Okoye. That is a Denver Broncos smacking Okoye, and he sends him backward.
Oh my gosh.
It is unreal. Ronnie Lott wanted to play a playoff game. They said that his pinky was broken and infected, so he just went in the garage and sawed it off. He's like, well, it ain't infected anymore.
Right.
And he played. And he doesn't, he's like short a chunk of his pinky now.
Who was the New York Giant that blew his hand off with the fireworks? He was a USF guy.
Yeah.
Jean-Paul Pierre.
Pierre. And he was at Tampa for a little bit too.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. And then he was playing. It's all bad.
It's very weird. And I remember back as a kid too, Bobby Ojeda was landscaping and he cut his finger and he missed the playoffs or something. He was one of that was when they had Ron Darling, Ojeda.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And, Dwight Gooden. It was like that was a piece to the rotation. It was like, what are you doing your own hedges for? You?
Right. Well, the famous old story is, Larry Bird's back was never the same after he hurt it, laying his own driveway, pouring his own concrete. Like,
oh, my God.
Who would do that? And they said he was never the same after that.
Oh, what was one of the most recent Super Bowls? I think it was Niners Chiefs. The guy on the Niners on the sideline celebrating something, jumping up. He wasn't even involved in the play. Jumping up, and when he landed, he missed the Super Bowl.
Blows his ACL or something. Yes.
I kind of like that as a comedian. Like, good.
See,
you dummy.
Giving you material. Just giving you fresh, free material. You don't even have to work for it.
I think at some point in the Jaguars' career, though, history, I could have played for them.
You could.
Much like the hockey, the backup. After Mark Brunell, we made it to the – almost beat the Patriots to go to the bowl. Well, that was with Bortles. But there was a long period of time where we were not – I could have played.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think – what I always wonder about goalies, and I don't know this because I played – I was more of a basketball player and I played some football. But as a goalie – that is what your whole thing. If someone throws a rock at you, do you just step into it and just take one right in the chest? Is that just your natural inclination to do that?
Right. Why doesn't the NHL have sumo wrestlers as
just massive? They've got those couch cushions on them already. Like you're trying to make them as big as you can.
Like go to the casting director of My 600-Pound Life. And get a person as big as
get
the
him
goal.
In there. Right. Good luck.
You win.
Just stand there and give them snacks.
As long as they don't melt the ice and start to drift away.
Which is possible. Which is possible.
Just start slowly moving. There's an opening.
You're dropping. Hey, go over the shoulder. Over the shoulder is now open. It wasn't before, but it is now. They're singing.
But I do love those. Like I was writing down a list of what's in my algorithm on social media. And it's a lot of it's just people falling.
Yeah.
And another one I really like is people, sports figures celebrating too soon.
Oh yeah.
You know, so it's a bicycle race or a foot race and the person's and then someone zips by. One of my favorite ones is a penalty shot where it goes off the crossbar at the top and the goalie starts and it goes straight up and then the goalie celebrating and it bounces and the backspin
bounces
it in.
I think it's
arrogant to celebrate too early.
Oh, for sure. Which is why we love it. We love seeing the arrogance get punished.
Yes. And that's why I like Barry Sanders too. One of the many reasons he just hands the ball to the ref.
Walks away.
And they asked him one time why he does that. And he goes, well, I want to act like I've been there before.
Yeah. Yeah. I think his dad had drilled that into him and his dad would drill into him. Don't waste that energy. You're going to need it later.
Yep.
So don't get all hype and burn yourself out and start building up that lactic acid,
Was it? I know it was fun to watch Barry Sanders, but wasn't it a little frustrating because it would be like this. It would be they hand off to him, he loses 2 yards. They hand off to him again, he gains 1 yard. They hand off to him again, he loses 2. then he gains 74 yards.
Right, right. No, it was. It was. The only thing was you were on the edge of your seat like, this might be the one. Mm-hmm. This might be it. You're just not sure.
Go to the bathroom.
No, you couldn't because he just might break that one off. And when he did, it, some of his, and you know, Walter Payton was kind of that way. Dorsett could be a little bit that way. Yeah. Some of their like 3 and 4 yard runs mm-hmm. were the most beautiful things you've ever seen. Just amazing. How in the world was that not an 8 yard loss?
Yes. I like, I mean, Adrian Peterson's a little bit like that. He can turn.
Yep.
You saw Saquon last year leap over backwards over the Jaguar.
What a freak of nature that guy is.
So much
he is
fun
so
to
good.
Watch the Giants
get
him away. And then,
what do they need him for? They've got plenty. They don't even need that guy.
We have, look, if we give a player away, he's going to excel. Daniel Jones, Saquon Barkley.
No, you're right. That's fair. You know, and the Giants have always been that kind of tough, hard nose. They're going to win when no one expects it. And now recently you're like, what in the world happened?
Yes, they beat the Eagles, right, this year.
Beat the Eagles.
And then they lost to the Saints.
I
want to
say they lost to the Saints, and then the Broncos kind of wrecked their year when they gave
Bo
up 30
Nix
in the fourth quarter.
Bo Nix is so fun to watch.
He's that same way, though. He's don't leave.
Right.
Don't go to the bathroom.
Right.
It might just be an incomplete screen that he just misses by a mile, but it might be, you know, you never know.
Jags had a great comeback game not too long, a couple years ago, but it reminded me of the game I watched. I think it was Oilers Buffalo with the big comeback.
Oh, yeah, the 38-3.
Steve Wright or something? Was it the quarterback?
It was Frank Reich.
Frank Reich, yeah.
Yep, and then Ellie was out.
And then it reminded me when I was watching the Jags Chargers playoff game.
Years ago,
27-0.
It's over. Week. Don't worry. That Chargers are finally going to get that playoff win. Oh no, they're not.
Right. Well, that reminds me of a joke my buddy does about one of the football jokes that guy I told you about that does all pro lines.
Yeah.
So he's a Falcons fan, and what was the score of the
28-3?
Oh, that's what they. Yeah, yeah. So they were winning 28-3 in the Super Bowl, and they lost to the Patriots. So. His joke is his friend called him up and he goes, "Hey man, how on a scale from 28-3, how mad are you that the Falcons lost? On a scale from 3 to 28, how?"
That's fair. That's solid. That's pretty solid. Yeah, I like that. That's well done. Well done.
Yeah. But I wish I was better at sports. I wish I was.
Seems like you're keeping up pretty well.
No, I mean like as a player when I was
as
younger,
a player.
I wish it was. It was humbling. I was an all-star baseball player until I was 13. And then
everyone else grew.
Yeah, everyone else kind of got better. Yep. And then but it took me like 2 years to realize, okay, I'm still as good as I was at 13, but I'm 15. And everyone is a man.
Yeah. Yeah. It was funny because when, you know, I was coaching and I kind of had recognized that. And we would see when my daughter was playing sports, we would see these girls that at like 8, they're just dominating. And my daughter would be like, I can't play with her. She's so much better. I said, just wait, because she's the same now as she's going to be at 15 and you'll pass her at about 12. Right. So you'll be fine. You just got to be patient because for whatever reason, she just grew faster than everyone else, but it'll all even out.
Maybe that's why I like bowling, because I can do it till I'm 100 years
you can,
old.
And you can do it half drunk. It doesn't matter.
Yes. I can eat during it, drink during it.
Yep.
I can do whatever.
So here is the rule that we have defined on the dose, and you can tell me if this is accurate or not. Right. Is it a sport or not can be defined by can you get at least marginally better by getting intoxicated? If you can, it might not be a sport. If you can't, then it's definitely a sport. So, like, you might have a couple of drinks and become a better bowler. Is bowling a sport? Maybe. I don't know. It's an activity. Golf? Maybe. You have a couple pops out on the course. You might get a little bit better.
Yes. Pool?
Pool, definitely get better. Definitely get better. Baseball?
No.
Not going to work.
Darts? No, because you're throwing a sharp object.
Yeah, you're throwing. You can do it, but it might not be beneficial.
You get better at lawn darts, but they're
lawn darts for sure. What happened to lawn darts, by the way? Where did they go?
They got banned.
They got banned. Yeah, one idiot ruined it for all of us.
Yeah, one person was like, "Hey, I don't know where it went," and they looked up and it went in your eyes. That's where it went.
You don't. when they say heads up, you don't actually look up.
No, you go down. They should say heads down.
Heads down would be more accurate.
I think you have to determine if something's a sport if the opponent knows they're playing. That was an old joke of mine.
That's fair.
Like when people say hunting is a sport, I'm like, I don't think the deer know.
The deer has no idea.
And the equivalent of that is like if you're at work at the water cooler and you go up behind your friend and punch him right in the jaw and he's like, yes. What are you doing? I'm boxing, baby.
I'm boxing. You just weren't playing.
Yeah.
Well, you know, they have these lists of greatest athletes ever and they always put secretary on it. And I'm like, same thing. Does secretariat know? I would imagine there's probably like a giraffe that can really dunk the ball well. I don't care. Right. They don't really care about our athletic endeavors. And yet we put secretary on every greatest athlete list and couldn't make less sense to me.
If that's the case, they should really put their trainer on the list.
Yes.
And then that would open up a can of worms. Because if you're going to put like Bo Jackson on it, like, well, who trained Bo?
Who trained Bo? Right. Same thing as who trained secretariat. I'm sure there's a cheetah out there somewhere that could beat secretary in secretariat's prime.
Right. They don't want to play.
They have no interest.
If they knew there was a gate open in the middle where they could cut a, they would take the gate.
They would leave. He's just hoping to be put out to stud. He couldn't care less about any of this. It's just a waste of time.
But yeah, like I don't get sports too. Like I'm not a golfer, and because I don't get the, I don't get when you hit the ball away from yourself, then you have to go get it.
You go get it. They don't get it for you.
No, like football, you're exchanging it. Baseball, you're exchanging it. Hockey, you're exchanging it. Basketball, same thing. But I'm not going to hit a ball further away from me.
And then have to go chase it.
I got to go walk over there and get it. No, thanks.
And they're going to put things in the way of you getting to your final destination.
It's like when they do these marathons called the Tough Mudder and the Spartan race. Look, I don't want to run to begin with, let alone climb a firewall.
That's right. I don't need any of that. I mean, next thing you know, hey, next around that corner, there's a bear. He's waiting.
Yes.
He's starving. He's already got a napkin wrapped around his neck.
Right.
Hope you make it. Good luck.
I want you to swim under this this underground tunnel that's half filled with sewage.
See?
I don't need stuff in my way. I need you to give me a ride to the finish line.
Yes, I need a little help. That doesn't appeal to me in any way. That I'm in the minority as a basketball coach. I never took up golf because I was like, that just seems like a good Saturday ruin to me.
I think I agree with you, and I think I've lost out on comedic opportunities.
You probably have because we're all going to go hit the links this week. I'm not going.
Yeah. What about mini golf? Can we do that instead?
I mean, I guess, but again, you're back to the can I get better with a few pops in me?
Right.
Because you totally can.
I just want to be, I'm very indoorsy. I want to be,
yes.
If there's 100%. An indoor mini golf course.
Right. No, it's the Gaffigan camping thing. Why in the world would I do that when I pay a mortgage? It doesn't make any sense.
And that goes for live sporting events too. As much as I love them, I'd rather go in cold weather and I want to sit in 90 degrees to watch the game. I want to go in your skybox.
Yeah. Yeah.
That'd be great.
And in the heated, well, that was why I coached basketball. I didn't coach football because it's cold out there.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that. Are you out of your mind? The gym is 72.
Right.
That makes no sense. Speaking of which, this winter, we've got the Winter Olympics coming. Oh. Show me any one of these events that doesn't sound like a drunken dare.
Yeah.
Hey, so what we're going to do, we're going to put you on this toboggan and we're going to send you down this hill and it's just sheer ice.
Yeah.
Hopefully you land it. I don't know.
Yeah.
But we're going to see if you can land it.
We know you've been practicing for 11 days.
Right. And we're sitting at home filling ourselves with Fritos going, this idiot is never going to stick this landing.
My favorite part is all these big nations have Olympic athletes that do it for a career. I guess they make their money from sponsorships.
Yeah, yeah.
And some of these smaller countries, I love hearing the backstory. Like this guy's a bricklayer by trade.
Yes.
And he had to get off. He had to take a month off of work to compete in the Olympics. He had no time to train. But here he is on the javelin throw.
Right. And we're going to see if he can even get the javelin up over his head. He's never done it before. This is his first time.
He's here involuntarily. he's under threat of death if he doesn't win a bronze medal. He's also a bricklayer if you're looking for some masonry work in Romania.
Call this number to get him on. Yeah.
No, but as I get older, I am more into the Olympics. I don't know if that's an old man thing.
No, I think it is kind of, but you get that human interest story. You remember the kid that was a swimmer? He had never swam in the pool that long. And so everyone had gone home. They had turned the lights off. They were getting ready for it. And he was still finishing his, but he finished it. And when he finished, everybody had tears in their eyes when he finished it.
Yeah. Do you remember when they opened up the Olympics basketball to professional players?
And I do.
So we had our first, you know, it was a Jordan and Magic and Bird.
Yeah, Barcelona. Yep.
And it was the funniest thing was to see the opponents while they're guarding these famous players, they would have family or friends in the stands and they would try to pose during the game. Like just so they can get a snapshot of them with Jordan or whoever. And I was like, this is not a real thing. This is not.
And just
very bizarre.
Beating people by 60.
Yeah.
And you know, the story about the Olympics, that 94 Olympic team that doesn't get told is they weren't going to go. Jordan and all Magic, they weren't going to go. And John Stockton said, I'm going to go. And I don't care if Nike's involved or not. I'm going. And everyone was like, well, then I guess let's go.
Yeah.
And well, so the little white guy actually got that whole thing going.
Well, yeah. Well, that's ironic because he's, up there and assists. So they're going to get fed the ball.
He kind of started the train rolling there by saying he was going to do it, even though he was a Nike guy. He's like, I don't care. I still want to go.
Yeah. And it is interesting to see the World Baseball Classic too, where the different, because it's more competitive, I think. It's
sure. And now they're doing that in the NBA this year at the All-Star Game. They're going to have the world versus the U.S. And now we've spawned this generation of great world players.
Yeah.
The U.S. players aren't what it used to be. That was our game. That was what we made.
Right.
Now you're looking at big white slow guys dominating the sport, which is just bizarre.
European, they're from you know, Yugoslavia, someplace.
Yeah, that Eastern Bloc, and they're just tearing it up.
Yeah,
different world.
Basketball is one of the only sports that I, you know, how you typically only enjoy stuff you're good at. I am so bad at basketball. I love to play it. But no one wants to play. I have to do it on my own or with a few friends.
The good thing about basketball is you can play it on your own. That's the positive. Yes. There's nothing better than kind of going into like an empty gym all by yourself. It might be the greatest thing ever.
Here's how lazy I am. I got that thing that connects to the bottom of my rim, the ramp that feeds the ball back.
Shoots it back to you.
I literally had to say to myself, I like playing this, but if I make it, I don't want to go chase. I'm not chasing anything.
No.
You know what I mean? Get it back to me.
You needed that in golf. You'd have been a golfer. If you could have had that, you tee off and then it fires the ball back to you.
I probably would have invented golf carts if I was into golf back in the day. Like, hey, someone take me to my ball, please.
Is there any way I can drive this thing recklessly while drinking? Then we might have something. Danny, I can sit here and talk to you the rest of the day. I'm going to be completely honest with you. We can just sit here and talk sports the rest of the day.
Yeah, but like, I'll come back on anytime, man.
I would love it. I had a great time. Let me ask you, let me get one thing in real quick.
Sure.
Where is the best place for listeners to follow you? Where can they find your tour dates? When can we find out he's going to be booked here in Denver? We're going to come see him.
Absolutely. So the easiest place to start is my website. It's just DannyJohnson.com. I was able to get a .com early on. DannyJohnson.com. And then all of my socials are Danny Johnson Comedy. So whether it's TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, my new special is on my YouTube page. Everything is interlinked. It's 30 some odd minutes. I think of some really great stuff. I talk a little bit about, you know, my mental health, physical health. I touch upon it's called Everything Bothers Me, and because it truly does. And so I think your listeners will not be disappointed. Just give me a shot. See for yourself and share it, like it. And I'd love to be back on the dose.
Hey, anytime. We would love to have you back. Cannot say thank you enough. Really, really enjoyed our visit, even though I'm losing my voice because apparently I've talked too much. But thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks.
Hey, next week on The Dose, we are going to be wrapping up the year that was 2025 in the world of sports. So be sure you check out The Dose and be sure you let a friend know to do the same. Hey, I want to say thank you so much to Danny Johnson for stopping by The Dose. I really enjoyed our conversation. I hope you'll stop by again. And I want to say thank you to each and every one of you for listening to The Daily Dose every week. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the texts.
thank you for the tweets. But more than anything, thank you for sharing the show, for sharing the videos, and for sharing the articles with someone that you know. We absolutely love it when you do that. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next Wednesday. Have a great week, everybody, and have a very Merry Christmas.
I've never had a show start where it started where we removed joy from the room.